Hello, Apostolic Insiders, and welcome back to the Staples household. We just got back from our vacation. We are, as I said, back in the Staples household here, and I have an audience here. What are your names?
Rose
and Catherine. And you're my audience today?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you guys, these are some of the harshest readings of the entire liturgical year. These are very, very powerful, but they are harsh. We begin here in Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 9, but want to do a little bit of background on Jeremiah to understand these powerful words. Jeremiah, of course, was a prophet who ministered he ministered during the reigns of five different kings, but he started with Josiah, which was a time of peace and prosperity. Josiah was a man after God's own heart. He ushered in reforms in Israel, exhorted the people to come back to God. Now, of course, there was still some idolatry going on, but Josiah was a truly great king. And this is significant because this is when Jeremiah begins to prophesy, and he's kind of known as both the weeping prophet and the prophet of doom and gloom, because Jeremiah begins to prophesy death and destruction and slavery, exile, right? He was prophesying what would happen four kings later with King Zedekiah, and that is the 70 years of Babylonian exile. And so let's just say his words were not exactly appreciated by the children of Israel, because he was hammering death and destruction. And remember this too. Jeremiah was from a priestly family, and he was a sensitive soul. He loved God, hence the weeping. He would weep for the Israelites and pray that they would come back to God, and of course to no avail, because they would not heed his words. There's a powerful message here for us, I think, today. Think about that as we move forward. But Jeremiah, again, he's weeping. And in fact, he did not like confrontation. He did not like the message that God was giving him to share of death and destruction. And at times he attempted not to say it. He didn't want to speak God's word anymore. Well, of course, not only did he not like confrontation, but it got him beaten, got him, you know, put in stocks and humiliated at the gate of the city. In fact, that's the sort of the context of our reading here from Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah had just been arrested, or at least put into stocks and humiliated for a day. And Jeremiah says, in fact, let's pick up the reading. I do want to read Jeremiah 27 through 9, which is our reading today. O Lord, you have deceived me. Now, what does he mean by that? Think of that, Rose. O Lord, you have deceived me. How has the Lord deceived him? You have deceived me, I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me, for whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him. Catch that? See, he doesn't want to say it anymore. If I say, I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Now, I'm going to add verse 10 here. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Say all my familiar friends watching for my fall. Did you catch that? Let us denounce him. Denounce him, say all my familiar friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, and then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. So notice, his friends plotted against him. His friends wanted to kill him because of his harsh message. And you know, this, I'm going to jump forward right now to our reading from Romans chapter 12, because I think these two really dovetail together quite powerfully. In Romans 12, we see St. Paul says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy unto God, which is your, and I'm going to read from the Greek here, your logical worship. The Greek word here is logike, which is your logical worship. Remember we talked about this many weeks ago, how the most reasonable thing a human being can do is get on his knees and worship God, because it's what we are made for. We are made to know, love, and serve Almighty God. That's why there is absolutely nothing about our worship. There cannot be anything about our worship that is irrational. There are things about our worship and beliefs that are super rational. They're beyond our abilities of reason, but there's nothing about them that is contrary to reason. The most reasonable thing we can do as human beings is worship Almighty God. But then notice in the following verse, in verse 2, and be not conformed to this age, or be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may know what is the will of God, what is true and just and pleasing unto God, or perfect, that you may know that perfect will of God. I think these two readings go hand in hand, because Jeremiah is also experiencing the necessity of being transformed in his mind, because in his natural mind, he didn't want to speak God's word. He didn't want confrontation. He didn't want the pain that goes along with preaching the truth. But what happens when he tries not to speak it? He says, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be beaten and in prison. And I don't want everybody whispering about me and deriding me and plotting against me. I'm not going to speak the word of God anymore. But what did Jeremiah say? It's like fire in my bones. I could not stop. It welled up within him and he had to speak the word. And what happens in that process is he is being transformed. His mind is being transformed, so that he begins to speak with God's mind instead of his own. And in the same way, this is what the readings are about today. We have to have our minds transformed by the grace of God if we are going to know what is the will of God and if we're going to proclaim it. Because let's face it, folks, we live in a situation where we are much like Jeremiah in our world today. We're hated. This culture of ours is growingly antagonistic against anyone who will stand up for the truth. And at times, we might want to cower in the face of Black Lives Matter Incorporated, as I call it, right? These violent thugs, or Antifa, who are basically terrorists in our streets. It's easy to cower and not speak the truth in the face of enemies like this. But we must be transformed in our minds. In fact, in the Psalm 63:3, the psalmist says, your merciful love is better than life. My lips will praise you. We have to get to that place where we understand that the word of God is ultimately more important than our lives. And that leads us to point number 3, and that is our reading from Matthew 16, verse 21. And this is extremely important, because remember last week we read Matthew 16, the famous verses 13 through 19, where Jesus promises the keys of the kingdom to Peter. Remember that, Rose? Where Jesus promises the keys of the kingdom to Peter, right? Well, this reading this week picks up right after that. Right after Jesus made this glorious promise, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, Peter. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's power. He's saying whatever you declare bound on earth will have heaven to back it up. Glorious, right? And of course, he's giving us St. Peter and his successors, the popes, so that we can know with certainty what is the will of God, what is good and perfect. Right? That's how, you know, this great gift of the papacy is how we can assure in this world that we are speaking in union with the mind of God. This is a great gift we have. But remember this, in verse 21, right after the promise, we pick it up. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And then Peter took him and said, "No, Lord." He begins to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you." Right? Peter, kind of like Jeremiah, did not want to conform himself to the will of God. What is this? Jesus, you're going to die? No way. Remember how Jeremiah prophesied death and destruction and the people didn't want anything to do with it? Well, Jesus just prophesied his own death and Peter didn't want anything to do with it. He said, "Not so, Lord. Don't you understand?" In fact, Peter was of the mindset of the zealots of the day who wanted to conquer. They wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire. And then we'll put Jesus on the throne. And then we'll rule the way God wants us to rule. And no. You know what Jesus says to that? Listen to this. Jesus turns to him in verse 23 and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not on the side of God, but you are on the side of men." And then Jesus used this for an occasion to turn to the disciples. Think of this. He says, "Peter, you are being controlled by Satan right now." Why is that? Because ultimately our deliverance does not come by getting the right president, the right Supreme Court justices, the right emperor, the right... Our ultimate salvation does not come from Donald Trump. It doesn't come from Joe Biden. It comes from Jesus Christ and our submission to him. And that is the most important thing, my friends, in our lives, is our submission to him. And then notice, he says, Jesus told his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life?" And I want to tell you, that's a terrible translation. Unfortunately, both the RSV and the NAB get this wrong here. The scripture does not say forfeit his life. It says forfeit his soul. Psuche is the Greek word. "Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Not just his life. And so, folks, I believe this message is a powerful one, and it very much hit home in my own soul in this time in which we live right now. Because our tendency, just like the Israelites under the reign of Babylon, remember, the Israelites, in fact, King Zedekiah's downfall was he turned to Egypt, and he turned to the Ammonites, he turned to other surrounding nations and said, "Hey, we're going to rise up against the Babylonians and we'll conquer them." But Jeremiah said, "No, this is a time of penance. You need to endure this Babylonian exile as a penance from God." Zedekiah would not listen to God. He wanted to rise up and destroy the Babylonians. And guess what happened? The Babylonians conquered, plucked his eyes out of his head, slaughtered his children right in front of him because he was disobedient to Almighty God. Jeremiah said, "Patience, you listen to the will of God." And that's what we must do now. Patience, we listen to the will of God. Now, do we fight for life? Yes, we do. Do we vote for pro-life candidates? Of course we do. Do we get involved in politics? Yes, we do. As Catholics, we want to be good citizens right where we are, but we have to be careful where our trust lies. Our trust cannot be in political processes. Our trust cannot be in politicians. Our trust must be in Almighty God, because God alone knows. It may well be that we have to go through some bad times in the coming years because of our sins. Just as there was idolatry in ancient Israel, there is idolatry right now in the Western world and in the United States. We are rejecting God. We are slaughtering babies in the womb and such. And it may well be that there is penance ahead for us, but the bottom line is this. If we will put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we cannot lose. Because it doesn't matter what happens out there. It doesn't matter what happens politically or any other way. All that matters is we serve Jesus and we understand He is ultimately in control and it is well with our souls. God bless you.